Will you think you're blessed this morning? Say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't it a good day? I tell you. Every day in the Lord's house to me is a blessing. I'm just so thankful that we could all be here this morning. And you'll be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And you can see from my notes, I can fill in 5 minutes this morning if I need to. I can either do it preaching or singing. Which would you rather me do? Amen, amen. Well, I tell you, it wouldn't be my first time to sing. It might be my last, but I do love to sing, but I may surprise you one of these days. But anyway, as we continue in our understanding, our mission here at New Haven Baptist Church, I think one of the foremost things that we should understand. That one of our main missions here is that we should remember the Lord's work. Now, you know, and as we, I guess, set the stage for what we're about to read here in just a moment, but, you know, this was a time, a dark time in history, really, but it was a bright time as well. But this was on the eve before that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be betrayed by Judas, and he had gathered disciples together in the upper room, and they were having what ended up becoming known as today the Lord's Supper, and an institution, and of course Judas was already making his way out to the enemies of God to betray him, and the Lord understood that. But you know, he set forth some things that I believe we ought to always remember. And we ought to always be a part as Christians of this ministry. So, if you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to stand and we're going to begin reading in verse 23. And the Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, The cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another." May we pray. Our Father, Lord, we thank you so much, God, for instituting this ordinance, this ministry, Lord, at a time when we can remember you and remember what you did for us. And God, I pray that not one person would ever, ever, ever forget the meaning of the Lord's Supper. And Lord, as we go through this message this morning, I just pray, Lord, that each person will examine their own hearts, not examine someone else, but look inwardly and see what our relationship is with you. Lord, we love you and praise you now. In your name, amen, amen. This is the first time that I've been able to do the Lord's Supper here as your pastor. And so, you know, we may not do it the way you're accustomed to do it, but I like most of the time to preach a message before we do it, so that maybe everyone here has an understanding what this is. This is not just some repetitious thing. And matter of fact, I've never been a fan, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it, of just doing it a certain time, doing it a certain way, you know, because, you know, I think sometimes when we don't have a special meaning when we do it, then we may just actually become exactly what Paul warned against, and that's just doing it unworthily. We're just doing it out of habit, or just doing it because now's the time to do it, or something like that. That should never be what we do. But what we really need to do is understand what was happening at the time, and then understand what's happening today. You see, it was the Passover feast, and Jesus had called his close disciples together, and they were going to experience a meal for Passover. And so, you know, what you may remember, I hope you do, but you know, the Passover was a time which during the last plague, right before children of Israel left Egypt, and you remember all the plagues and the 10 plagues, this was during the 10th plague, that what God had told the Jews, hey, listen, I want you to shed the blood of a lamb, and then I want you to mark it on your doorpost, and when you do that, then the angel of death will pass over your house, and your firstborn shall not die. And it was for the remission of the sins. And so what was happening now, when we look at what was happening which Paul was writing about, which had already occurred, but Paul was writing about it, then the Passover feast was about to be over forever. Because you see, the true Passover lamb was about to be killed and his blood shed. You see, what was about to happen is that once and for all, redemption from a greater bondage than Israel was under in Egypt was about to be purchased for all mankind. You see, the redemption for our sins, and offer everyone an opportunity. Our Sunday school lesson this morning said that even before we were created, even before the first human being ever walked on the earth, God had preordained that the people that would be born through the thousands and thousands of years would all have an opportunity to become a child of God and a part of the family. Because you see, to participate in the Lord's Supper means that you're a part of the believer's family, not a part of New Haven Baptist Church, but a part of the believer's family. You know, Brother Roy, you may remember this. I think this is when you were at D'Armaville, but we had some people that joined our church there, and there was a young lady. She had just gotten out of college, and she talked about during her college years, and it was, man, it's some lean times. And what she would do is, she ever passed by a church, and it looked like they were having dinner on the ground, she'd just show up and pretend to be one of them. And she said, man, I could eat that way. I mean, you know, she said, I just walk in, well, hey, how are you doing? And she said, nobody ever knew I wasn't part of the family. No one ever knew that I wasn't a part of it. I was just some passing stranger that stopped in. Well, you see, that's what Jesus was warning about here, is that when you partake in the Lord's Supper, you've got to be a part of his family. And so we're going to see that as we go. But first of all, I want you to see that today is a day that we should rejoice in the memory of the Lord's person. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, first of all, remember the emblem of his body. Now think about this. He tells us that the bread symbolizes his body. And soon his body was going to be battered and broken and beaten beyond imagination. You see, again, remember this, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, this was the eve before he was going to be betrayed and before he'd been going to be taken to the cross and his body beaten before he got there, and he was going to be nailed on that cross. And he said, listen, we need to understand that this is my body. The bread represents my body. So we see what the Lord did. First of all, he blessed the bread. Think about this. He gave thanks. Now, this wasn't an ordinary blessing that we say at the table, God is good, God is great. You know, one of those things. But listen, this was a blessing in which he offered up himself. You see, think about what the Lord was doing. As he was blessing this bread, the next thing he was about to do is he broke the bread. Now, listen, he deliberately broke his body. And as he broke his body, he handed a piece of it to each of those men gathered together that evening. Now think about that. This is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, now this is my body. And then what does he do? He begins to break that body. And he begins to hand it to everyone that was in there. Just like here in a moment, we're going to be passing out that bread too. But he deliberately did this. And as each one took a piece of the bread, it was their testimony of them being part of his broken body. You see, folks, you and I are the ones that broke his body. It weren't the Roman soldiers. They might have physically done it, but we were the ones. We were the responsible for his body being broken. And so as he was handing this bread to each of those men gathered together, he said, here, take, eat. When you eat this bread, you're taking on my body. Listen, folks, understand this. When we pray to receive Christ, we invite Christ into our heart. We are taking that broken body inwardly here. You see, the bread is symbolic of what we've done, but what actually we've done when we trust Christ and Christ alone for eternal life, we are taking that, his body. We're accepting the offer that he says, here, take, eat. This is my body. Man, it's just such an amazing thing when we think about what the Lord did. But then I want you to see what the Lord desires of us. Listen, he says clearly, he tells us that we are a part of him. Listen to what he says. He says, take, eat this, my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. His desire by us going through the ordinance of the Lord's Supper is that we never, ever, ever, ever forget what he did for us. Folks, I've said for years, our motivation for living for the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be based on what he did for us. That ought to motivate us. That ought to motivate us. You know, and our Sunday school lesson was on seeking his will. Let me tell you something. His will is for you to live for him. That's his perfect will. He lists out all the gifts. He lists out all these things. There's some things you just don't have to pray about. There's some things that you just know in order to remember him. If we remember him, guess what? We're going to be in his house. If we remember him, guess what? We're going to share the gospel with other people. If we remember him, then guess what? We're going to give. If we remember him, we're going to rejoice at the opportunity to come and worship in his house. We're going to rejoice in singing because we're always remembering him. That's what he asked. He said, when you do this do in remembrance of me. Remember that it was us that broke his body. It was him that offered it to us. Secondly, we see also, though, is to remember the emblem of his blood. Now this symbolizes the shedding of his precious blood. Folks, verse 25 says, and after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Now think about that. He says, we should see when we take the cup that we are reminded of the blood that was shed for us on the cross. Just like at the Passover. See, you know, Jesus always met us where we were. He always met us at a point where we could understand what he was talking about. Well, he knew that the disciples gathered with him that night would know what the Passover was. He knew that they would know what the blood represented, because the blood represented a precious lamb that had to be slain, and that blood had to be put on the doorpost so that it would mark them and save them from certain death. That's what the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ does for us today. The blood that he shed on the cross, he saves us from a certain eternal death. And so he looks at it, he said, listen, I want you to see the taking of the cup, but then I want you to see the making of the covenant. He said, this is my New Testament, the New Testament in blood. He wasn't talking about a book. He's talking about a new covenant. He said, here, this is my covenant with you. Those of you that will receive my precious blood for the redemption of your sins, then I promise you will have eternal life. You see, folks, when we do this, this is not something we just flippantly do. But this is something that we do, and we need to remember Him. We need to remember this covenant that He has made with us. His covenant was that His blood was here. And we are to remember that salvation is available through His work on the cross. See, folks, remember I told you God said from the very beginning, His desire was that not one person perish in eternal life in hell, but He also knew that not everyone would trust Him and Him alone for eternal life. You see, those of you come back tonight, I'm going to follow up on this just a little bit. But you see, the thing that's hard for us to wrap our mind around is that what we have is after knowledge. Everything that we know, we know it from something else or somebody else or from some experience. But God has foreknowledge. He knows it before it ever happens. I can't wrap my brain around that, but what I do know is this, is that when He led in this ordinance that night before He was going to go to the cross, He said, I will promise you this, that you will have a path to eternal life through my blood. He said, when you take of that cup, then you remember what you're doing. Secondly, we should rejoice in the memory of His passion, the Lord's passion. Listen, the emblems of the bread and the blood take us directly to the cross. Have you thought about that? When we pass out the bread and the juice here in just a moment, that should automatically direct our minds to the cross. Because that's why we're all here this morning, folks. It's not here because there's a great church at New Haven. We're not here because there's great Sunday school teachers, and we're not here because they have great programs and all that. Listen, we're here as a direct result of the cross that Jesus died on Calvary. That's where we're all directed to. He says, so when you think about this, when you remember me, then remember His life. Remember how He was that perfect, spotless, without blemish lamb that went to the cross to shed His blood. Folks, when I see the Lord Jesus Christ pictured as a spotless, without blemish lamb, it tells us what He did. The Bible said that He came so that we might have eternal life. He knew when He came, when the Father sent Him here, He knew that one day He was going to be that perfect, spotless lamb that would be sacrificed on Calvary's cross. But He came anyway. He said, don't ever forget that. Not only that, but we need to remember His death. You see, when we take the cup, remember the shedding of the blood for the redemption of our sins. Listen, the Bible says He had to die so that we could live. Think about that, folks. Have you ever thought what Christ really did for us? He left a perfect place to come to an imperfect place. He left a perfect place where He lived a perfect life, where He came to an imperfect place, where He had to live another perfect life here among all the sin, among all that. But not once did the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the other seas, did they ever catch Him? They tempted Him. They tried to make Him sin. They tried to get Him to admit to some kind of sin. They asked Him all these trick questions. But yet, the Lord Jesus Christ was incapable of sin because He was God. And try as they may, they could not do it. He remained that spotless, without blemish lamb, so that He could shed the blood, and only that blood could have done the redemption work of our sins. Not only that, but we should rejoice in the memory of the Lord's promise. He said, for as often as you eat the bread and drink this cup, do you to show the Lord's death till He come. Listen, folks, I don't know a lot of things today, but I know this. He will return for His church. God hadn't just put us here to just wither away and one day stick us in a hole and say, okay, it's finished. No. He's coming back for His church. Time and time again in the Bible, we see where He promises He'll be back. That He's coming back. He arose from death. He ascended on high. And He is coming for His church. Folks, if I didn't believe that, I think I'd just go lay in the bed and pull the covers over it and just die. If I thought that when I died, that was the end of it. But see, what He says is, I'm coming. He said, I want you to understand, I will return for my church, and not only that, He said, but I'm going to reign with my church. You see, when His church is gathered together, and we're finally all assembled together, the Bible said there's going to be a great wedding feast. And we are the bride. Now, some of you guys don't look like brides, I'm going to go ahead and tell you. But we are the bride, and He's the bridegroom, and He's going to gather us together, and there's going to be a feast like we have never seen before in our life. Time and time again, He says that. And time again, we need to understand. Listen, if you think things are just terrible here, and you don't want to go on, or you think, I don't have this, I don't have that, well, look to the future, because I'm going to tell you something. There's a feast coming one day that words can't describe. If I wanted to describe what He's going to have at His wedding feast, I couldn't begin to do it. I can't tell you what it's going to be other than it says it's going to be a great feast. And I mean, it's going to have the best of everything. I'm sure Brother Rick and some of them think we're going to have fried fish. We may do it. I don't know. But I can handle that. Yeah, I'm telling you. You think Heinz ketchup is slow, you ought to see what it is in heaven. It's got to last an eternity. But it's going to be a day that we can all understand what a reign we're going to have with the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. Folks, you all know in the book of Revelation, John did the best he could to describe heaven, but he couldn't even describe it. He said, there's some things I can't do, I can't say. And I really believe some of them he was probably instructed not to talk about, but some of them he couldn't do it because he was just so blown away. He was just in a place where he said, my goodness, I'm seeing things I've never seen before. But he wanted you to know it's going to be worth it. Whatever it is the Lord's got planned for us, I promise you it's going to be worth it. It's going to be a great day which He reigns with us. Fourthly, last, we should rejoice in the memory of the Lord's principle. Now, you can't preach the first part of this without preaching the last part. So the last part's kind of tough. But if you don't preach all the Word, then you might as well preach none of it. And so I've read different commentaries. Some people seem to think, well, you know, maybe he's just talking to lost people. Maybe he's talking about, listen, he had his disciples gathered together. Listen, lost people, judgment's already going to happen to you if you don't change. The Bible tells us the only judgment is that one day God's going to separate the goats from the sheep, and the goats are headed to a place of eternal damnation. But I believe what the Bible's talking about here is as we begin to have the Lord's Supper, then first of all we see His warning is recorded. You see, unworthily. Now, I looked that word up in the Greek and what it means, and you'll find it this place, and again in verse 29, you won't find that particular Greek word again. But what it says is, what it means simply is, unworthily means to participate in the Lord's Supper without proper preparation. Again, folks, that's why I just don't like to throw it together and say, okay, everybody come down here, because I believe that the Lord takes this seriously. I believe what He wants us to do is truly examine our hearts. Not what people think we are, but who God knows we are. And examine our hearts before we take part in this Lord's Supper. You see, we find that we see there is a very real danger. We're not to take it unworthily or flippantly. I'll never forget one time when I was a kid and we were having the Lord's Supper at my church, and I had already prayed to receive Christ. I don't know how I was, maybe 10, 12, I don't know. But we were having the Lord's Supper. And we had a star athlete that went to our church, and He was the most popular guy around. Everybody thought he was the stuff and probably would have been one of these days. But I couldn't help but I'd look back at this old boy. And that particular day we did the Lord's Supper first. I'm not sure why they did that. But they did it at the beginning. And I looked back there and I saw this guy and he had two of those little glasses. And he was making like he had binoculars. And he was looking up in it. And he was just doing all these things. And I remember looking around. And my mother was one of these people. Some of y'all probably have mothers like this. But, you know, after you get a certain age, you want to sit away from your mother, you know, with your buddies. Somehow I think my mother saw me looking at this old boy back there. But she had one of those arms that made out of rubber, and she could go all the way across the church and pinch me, straighten me up. But I saw him doing all this stuff. He'd hold it up and all that, and, you know, putting it in his ear like he's trying to hear. And I remember as a young boy, I said, man, did he not just listen to the message? Has he not heard what the pastor said right before we did this? Well, folks, what the warning here says is that there's a real danger. We need to understand that we need to prepare for the supper. We need to prepare our hearts. Any unconfessed sin, any broken fellowship with someone else, anything that is going in your life that will not be pleasing to God, now's the time in just a minute to fix that with God. Listen, we live in a world today that seems like it's a dog-eat-world, dog-eat-dog world. Somebody does us wrong, we do them back a little harder. You know, let's don't forgive people. Let's hold a grudge the rest of our life on someone. Let's walk on the other side of the street if we see them coming. Let's don't like anything else they ever put on Facebook. You know, let's do all these things. The Lord said, examine our heart in preparation for the supper. And then when we participate in the supper, now listen, don't be afraid. The way you will not be afraid to participate in the supper today is to examine your heart and make it right with God. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, there's not a person in this room that hadn't sinned this week. Unless your name happens to be Jesus and you died and rose again. Everybody in here has got unconfessed sin in our life. It doesn't mean we have unforgiven sin. Listen. The Bible says when Jesus died on the cross, we trusted Him for eternal life. And listen, He forgave every sin we've ever committed and every one we're ever going to commit. We're not going to have to answer that, but what the Bible says is we can break our fellowship, not our relationship with Him. We're still His child. But I believe He's talking about we need to fix our fellowship with God before we participate in the Lord's Supper. Don't be afraid to do that. All you got to do is fix it with the Lord. And then he's so serious about it, he repeats his warning. You see, he says, but let a man examine of himself so that he eat of that cup and drink of that, eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For if he eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself for not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or die. You know, I told you about the young star athlete that was doing all this stuff. It's in the spring of the year. Matter of fact, he did graduate from high school. He went down to the beach as the big man on campus. He came back in a body bag. He drowned. Now, I'm not telling you, I'm not standing here before you and say that's the reason that young man died. But what I am telling you is that's what the Bible says can happen to us if we take it unworthily. If we take it so flippantly that it means nothing, and we drink the cup to impress everybody around us, we eat the bread and all that. He said, that's why many of you suffer sickness. And he said, that's why many of you go to sleep or die. See, that's why I don't like to flippantly do the Lord's Supper, folks. I don't like to do it as a repetitious thing. There's some churches, I ain't even looked at our bylaws as far as concerning that, but there's some churches that you got to do it this time. There's some churches that got to do it every week. Folks, when we do it, it needs to be a time when we can examine our own hearts, and then we can reflect on our own lives, and then we can prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper. That's why I will never do the Lord's Supper at the beginning of a service. But I think everybody, your pastor included, has to have an opportunity to prepare for the Lord's Supper. Now, in just a second, you're going to have that opportunity to do that. See, first of all, if you're here and you've never trusted Christ, then you can participate in the Lord's Supper if you want to. It's just not going to mean anything. We might as well have brought Jack's hamburgers and Diet Coke in here. That's all it's accomplishing. If you've never trusted Christ, in just a minute you're going to have an opportunity to do that. I want you to come down here and take my hand and say, Brother George, I've never truly received Christ. Or you can say, Brother George, I've prayed to receive Christ, but I've never made it public. Whichever the case may be, you're going to have that opportunity to do that in just a minute. You may say, you know, Brother George, I've examined my heart. And yeah, I made a profession years ago, but that meant nothing to me. And I don't want to just drink the juice and eat the bread and have no true remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be here and you say, man, I've got somebody I know I've got to call when I get home and say, God, help me to give the strength to ask them to forgive me. I did them wrong, or they did me wrong. I've held a grudge from the last 100 years. Maybe just some little something in your life. That's between you and God. I will never know. I don't need to know. But you need to be prepared to do what we're about to do. Maybe here and God said, listen, this is where I want you to come join fellowship with this church and lock in and serve and use the gifts that God's given me. Then now's the time for you to do that. Now's the time for you to allow God to move in your heart. We're not talking about someone else's. We're talking about yours right now. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. And your word teaches us, God, that we must be prepared. God, this is not an attempt to get anyone not to do the Lord's Supper. God, this is a time to get everyone prepared to do the Lord's Supper. God, I pray right now that your people are examining their own hearts, not according to my life, not according to anyone else's life, but according to your life, your perfect, spotless life. And God, help us all to be prepared for where we're about to do. In your precious name we pray. Amen.